Worth Repeating is made possible thanks to the support from the 80-20 Foundation, the Lifshutz Foundation, and Pasha Mediterranean Grill.
Some of the stories may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Worth Repeating podcast. I'm Tori Poole. This is the second part of the live storytelling event recorded at the Irma and Emilio Nicolas Media Center at Texas Public Radio in downtown San Antonio. The theme was Uninvited. From creepy crawlers to worn-out welcomes, these stories are all about reclaiming your space. Can you think of a time you had to ask somebody to leave? Our first storyteller is George Garza. George shares a story about an ultimatum with a hasty move-in situation that was just the right price.
Hi, y'all. Hello. So, entirety of my life, I was what people would call a bubble boy. So it was safe, predictable, and controlled. My parents knew where I was, who I was with, and what I was doing at all times. And then I strayed off and fell in love with a gringa. Blonde, blue eyes, no Spanish, and outside of the bubble. And being from outside the bubble, my parents, at one point, we met at a fork, and they were like, it's either her or us. And I said, well, you guys really do make me happy, but she makes me happier. So we moved into our first apartment, and if anyone has seen Mr. Bean with a bucket of paint, I feel like he was recording that episode there. So that apartment had the landlord special, Mr. Bean special, and every hinge, every door, every nook and cranny was white, and it had gaps where you could fit your hand and you could see it outside. Not because you wanted to escape, but because you could still see outside. But it was 975. And you know what? 975 in downtown San Antonio, I'm not finding anybody, especially not my parents. And I wanted to prove a point, so I stayed there. And we were there, and it kind of sucked. Because you're living with a stranger, sort of, but you love them, but you're going to stay there. And it was this one night, it was very cold, November 13th, I'll never forget. I was working at a warehouse and I'll come back into play. So I was going to sleep probably around 6 and I was dead asleep. And I just feel something running along my leg. And I'm like, either she's getting frisky or the dog's a little bit slow. He was old, rest in peace. But it happened 3 or 4 times. And I'm just like, man, this dog or my girlfriend is relentless, but whatever. And by the 4th time, I'm like, either is this fucking dog or it's her. I don't know. And I turn on my flashlight. And I'm like, I hope it's a dog. Because I had ran into a cockroach a couple days earlier. And I go up and I see 1 leg, 2 leg, 3 leg, 4. And I'm like, slap at 2 more and that's it. No, it had 8. It had 8 and it was big and hairier than me. And I realized it's a tarantula. Kind of sick, sort of. And I try to keep my composure and be like, don't break, be a dude. So I get up, somehow be like, not today, maybe tomorrow. Coerce it onto my t-shirt. I wake up Anna and said, hey, please keep calm. Somehow. She wakes up, she freezes. And I go to the toilet and I just shake it in the toilet. Passed out. I still went to sleep because I needed to go to work. So I go to work and I'm thinking, did I make this thing up? And I look at my phone and I'm like, oh shit, no, it's real. So I send that to my landlord. I'm like, hey, just so you know, he needs to pay rent too, not just me. He's that big. And while I was at work and I'm like, I need to bring something home so I can protect myself. So as any logical thing, I borrowed 6 rolls of tape. I go back home and I clock into my 2nd shift. And that is taping every single nook and cranny, every door, every window, you name it, tape was there. And then me, with a flashlight and my chones. I'm like, I'm not letting these tarantulas in. Not with her in the house. Maybe the dog. I'm kidding. So it happened again. It happened three more times that night. And if you ever see a kid kind of reach under the door when you're trying to take a dump, same premise with these spiders. They're trying to reach, and I'm like, do I go? I'm like, the tape's going to get it. So they just stuck to the tape. I took more pictures, and I sent them to the landlord. Hopefully, she'll do something about it. She didn't. I did. But that apartment really tested me. It tested my pride. It tested my independence. And overall, it tested, like, am I really that scared to grow up and be with her? Do I want to prove my parents right or wrong? And I'm like, I'm going to stay a while, and I'm going to make them feel like they're wrong, sort of. So we stayed there for 4 more months. But the spiders were not the turning point. It was actually the landlord going in during a freeze and cranking those pipes that they had between the walls and then breaking it. And it felt like the Titanic. There was no door. I was still standing up. And we said, you know what? It's fine. Water's fine. Spiders are fine, I guess. But thankfully, we broke our lease earlier, so we moved out. But to the point is, the uninvited weren't really the spiders. My parents made me feel as if the uninvited was Anne. I might have flushed the spiders. I didn't flush her. She doesn't fit in there. But funny enough, my parents had a conversation, as all the parents do behind the scenes. And my mom said, hey, remember when I was set aside by your family and I was uninvited? And my dad said, I don't, as he would do. But basically, my mom said, hey, you need to like cool your jets. He's fine. He's building. He is doing what we want our son to do. Be a good father, maybe. Be a good son, which I am. Be a good brother, sometimes. And common law husband, right? Because we're 3 years in. So, yeah, so the spiders are flushed down the toilet, but Anne is still here with me.
This podcast is proudly supported by the 80/20 Foundation, dedicated to creating opportunities through education, community outreach, and meaningful impact. For this and more information, visit 8020foundation.com.
Our next storyteller is Victoria Rosa. Victoria shares a story about a camp trip with a few stowaways.
Let's go back into time. Maybe to the summer of 2012. We're all relieved, because the Mayan calendar has predicted that our world is going to end. So we're really scared, but we got through it. And it's a Sunday morning in my household. On Sunday mornings, we go to church. So we are very excited. We're in the car. We're jamming out to our gospels, and we get there. And it's a regular old Sunday, and church is hopping. Everybody's up, dancing, clapping. We go to a Baptist church, by the way. So it's a lot louder than most churches. This is a new church, so they're very welcoming and we feel very comfortable. It turns out there is a special announcement today. we get sponsored to go to a camp. Some of us get sponsored. And we're hoping that we're going to be picked for this camp because we've never been to camp, my sisters and I. And it turns out that we are the lucky few that get to go for free. So we're very excited, and we ask our mom permission, of course, and anything to get us out of the house, right? So a very anticipated trip. We go home and we start packing our bags as we get the approval of our mother. And turns out that my sister and I are going to camp. And this camp is a little bit far out. This camp is called His Hill, and it's in the Hill Country. If you haven't been out to the Hill Country, there's a whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of hills, a whole lot of grass, and our godparents decide to volunteer to take us out there. So very eagerly, we get in the car, and we're driving out there, seeing the beautiful hills, enjoying the fresh air. And after a very much anticipated trip, we get down and we say goodbye to our godparents. Bye-bye. They cannot get out any faster. So soon here, we form a line and we go through a physical as required to get into the camp. We all pass our physical. We're all very excited. I go to my cabin, cabin 6, and I meet a bunch of girls, new friends, and I make friends quite quickly, and my sister is over in cabin 2, which I was a little bit disappointed because I was excited to go to camp with my sister, but it's okay. I made some new friends, and I was hoping she was making some of her own. So we meet up later in church, and we're worshiping the Lord, and she's telling me about her new friends, and I'm excited for her. I'm glad that we're having a good time. We try a bunch of new stuff. I try horseback riding. I try archery and baked oatmeal for the first time. I don't know if you ever had that, but that was a staple for sure. And unfortunately, I don't get to see my sister that much because my sister is a year younger and she's in cabin 2. But either way, we're having a good time. We're trying new things. I see her only in the chow hall, really. And she kind of hints to me that she's not having as good of a time as I am. Turns out that there's a little bit of drama in her cabin. And, you know, normal preteen stuff. She's 13 and I'm 14, by the way. So they fight about little things like, you stole my soap, or that's my t-shirt. And unfortunately, I feel really bad for my sister, but I kind of go on with our trip, and later on, we get home, and she tells me more in depth what was going on, and I feel a little bit bad because she didn't have as good of an experience as I did, and she kind of like goes, feels a little bit uncomfortable. She kind of like goes and itches at her head, and I'm like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm good, but I'm a snitch, so I go to my mom, and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to say her name because she's somewhere in the audience. But I say, hey, Sissy is like scratching her head. Like, I know what she's scratching at. You know, so I tell my mom, and she goes, she checks my sister, and then she checks my other sisters and my other sister, and all of them have piojos. Except for me. Because we're in 2012 and we straighten our hair every day and we're wearing skinny jeans and we're doing this weird dance from Korea called Gangnam Style. Not going to demonstrate for y'all. Y'all can go look that up yourselves. Unfortunately, fortunately, I don't get it because, like I said, I straighten my hair every day. My natural oils have rid the lice, if y'all don't know what piojos are. If y'all don't know what piojos are, y'all grew up outside of 1604. Or outside of 410. And if you're not from San Antonio, that means you're white and rich. Anyways, my mother is furious because this free camping trip turned out to take a toll on her wallet because she had to go and by medication and try to rid these lice. And my mother ends up spending a few hundred, and she's infuriated because we live in a two-bedroom apartment, and my sisters, my four sisters and I share a bedroom. So this is no laughing matter. So my mother ends up having to call a friend over, because if you've never had to get rid of lice, it's quite a process. You have to do it all in a very timely manner. And then imagine three girls with very long hair. So my mother had to call a friend to do it all in a very timely manner, had to get all the lice out. They're all in a bathtub, and I'm just watching them laughing. You should have straightened your hair. You weren't as trendy as I was. My mother ends up a few hundred dollars later and a help from a friend. She is contemplating on shaving my sister's head, but good thing she didn't. She ends up getting rid of them, and we end up having to, you know, do our laundry and get all the lice out of the house. And that is my story.
This episode is proudly supported by the Lifshutz Foundation, a San Antonio-based charitable foundation committed to strengthening communities through philanthropy and support for meaningful causes. For this and more information, visit directory.tpr.org.
Our last storyteller is Renee Gonzalez. Renee shares a story about a night out with his dad and a lady that couldn't take a hint.
What up, man? How y'all doing tonight? Yeah. So the year was 2016, and I just got out of the Marine Corps. Moved back into the family house because my dad is also a bachelor. And at this time, you know, we actually started our own construction business together. We just landed our first huge contract. And the first thing that we decided to do was go to the strip club. We went to Chica's Cabaret on 45 and West Road in Houston, Texas. So if any of y'all want to go. Everything went good. You know, we walked in there. We already secured the contract. We're feeling real good. And as soon as we walk in, man, floors are sticky. Lights are beaming. You know, I smell cigarettes and regret in the air. It's fantastic. And now things are going good, man. We got, you know, we got a little money to blow. And, you know, we end up, you know, getting a couple private dances and having a little one-on-one time with some of the ladies. And so it went so good that we actually took two of them home. I had this beautiful, bad Cuban chick. Tattoos all down her side. She barely spoke any English, man. Perfect. And I don't speak Spanish, so it was even better, you know? My dad, actually, the chick that he got, her stripper name was Fireball. The reason why she was called Fireball is because, you know, she's actually like a, she's what we call a dust bunny. If you don't know what a dust bunny is basically a snow bunny that comes from a trailer park. She also looked very good as well, you know, especially when, you know, the lights are flashing and everything, you know. You know, she had this beautiful tattoo right on her C-section scar, man. She was... So, you know, the night, you know, nights are winding down. You know, they've been spending the whole time with, the whole night with us. We take them both back to our crib. And, you know, so this is an XM radio station. So I can say that we did cocaine till about 6 a.m. And just to let y'all know, this is my relationship with my dad. My dad is kind of more like an older brother to me. My dad had me when he was 16, all right? And he also named me Junior, so he was full of himself. And that also means that I had bad credit before I can even get a car. So things are going good, man. You know, we got drinks, you know. And you know these women are fancy when they were impressed with the box of wine that we had. So things are going good. You know, I end up taking my chick upstairs. You know, we do our thing. My dad goes down the hallway, does his thing, takes his chick. And, you know, it's whatever. You know, we, you know, probably, you know, kept it going till about 8, 9 in the morning. And then finally, you know, just passed out. Next morning, we woke up. Next morning, I woke up to the smell of bacon. And I'm really confused because I'm not normally hungry after a night of cocaine. So I walked downstairs, and then as I walked downstairs, you know, I turned into the kitchen, and simultaneously my dad is coming down the hallway from his bedroom, and he's also turning into the kitchen. And immediately we both look and see Fireball cooking in our, you know, in our kitchen. And we're like, all right, well, you know, thanks for cooking our bacon. You know, it's appreciate it, you know, and so we're having breakfast, man. This is when we finally, I'll tell her, I'll go, thank you, Miss Fireball, for cooking. She was like, oh, honey. She was like, my name is That is her real name. I don't know what she's up to anymore. Yeah. I did run into her out of Olive Garden, where she's now waitressing at, but that was a couple years ago. So she's doing better, I think. And now everything's going good, man. And so we're like, all right, thanks. Like, you know, do you need a ride? This was kind of before Uber. Like, you need a ride? You want to go back home? And she was like, oh, no, how about y'all come back to the club with us? And we're like, like strip club 2 nights in a row? Doesn't really sound too appealing. But she's like, nah, I got y'all. So we go back to the strip club because we also got to take her to work. So things are going good, you know, and the Cuban chick, we saw each other again. We locked eyes and we didn't even like say anything. It was beautiful, you know. I didn't have to pretend like I knew her or nothing. We just, you know, and but the same night again, you know, Betty Jo Fireball, she's like, hey, let's go. So actually my dad, you know, I think my dad's just happy that he was getting some affection. And then so this is night two in a row, she comes back. But this time she grabs like a duffel bag. And we're not really thinking nothing of it because I'm assuming this is where she keeps all of her little costumes at. But same thing, man. Next morning, you know, next day, he brought her. I'm tired. I'm taxed. I go to sleep. But, you know, they're staying up all night. And then, boom, next morning, wake up again to the smell of bacon. And I'm just like, I think she's trying to move in. And then so we're sitting there so we eat our meals in the living room on like TV trays because we're men and we don't have any women in the house. So now it's just me, Miss Fireball, my dad, all watching Harry Potter. Cause me and my dad love Harry Potter, you know, it just I mentioned he's only like 16 years older than me, right? Yeah, so okay. So we ask her, like, hey, do you need a ride somewhere? Do you need, to go home? She's like, oh no, I lost my keys. I mean, I'm waiting for the maintenance man. She gave us this whole long drawn out deal. And she was like, no, just a couple more hours. I was like, oh, okay. And the next thing you know, a couple hours passed. We're like, hey, any update? She was like, no. I'm like, all right, well, you need to go back to work, you know? So night falls again, and we're like, all right, well, what do you want to do? You know, you want to stay at your apartment? Do you just want to go to work? She's like, yeah, you can just drop me off of work. And so this time, but she's like, yeah, I'll take care of y'all again, you know? So we go. We take her into work. But as soon as she, you know, we give her the duffel bag, and we burn off, man. We burn off. Later on that night, about 3 a.m., she comes back to our place. And we fucked up because we let her get there without, you know, any blindfold or nothing. Like, we thought she was just going to come and go like the Cuban chick, you know? And at that point, man, I had to do exactly what Josie did. And I got a rake and I said, go on, get. I'm Gonzo.
That's it for the Worth Repeating podcast. Do us a favor and give us a like, subscribe, or review us wherever you stream podcasts. Worth Repeating returns this fall. Have a theme suggestion, want to join the storyboard, or maybe you just want to give us our flowers? I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at worthrepeating@tpr.org. Support for Worth Repeating comes from the 8020 Foundation, Lifshutz Foundation, and Pasha Mediterranean Grill. Worth Repeating is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Tori Poole. Thanks for listening.